Let us open the Holy Scriptures to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Romans chapter 6, and read the first 14 verses. Romans 6. And after reading Romans 6, the first part, we'll turn to our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 16, question and answer 43. The Word of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Here ends the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Let us turn to Lord's Day 16. Question and answer 43. I'm intending to leave question and answers 41 and 44 till the new year, so that next Lord's Day we will have Advent sermon in the morning as well as in the evening, and then we'll have the day of celebrating and remembering the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we will have New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day, and then the Lord's Day after that. I intend to come back to Lord's Day 16. But this morning, question and answer 43, what further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Answer, that by virtue, and virtue here is the old word for strength, by the power thereof, by the strength thereof, our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with him, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thus far the reading of God's word and the confession in which we summarize a part of the scriptures. I'd like to preach this morning on a further benefit from Christ's death for our life. And we'll consider the two thoughts, sanctification accomplished and sanctification applied. Beloved congregation, I've mentioned already a couple of times that there is some criticism by some commentators on the Heidelberg Catechism, that the Heidelberg Catechism takes up questions such as the one that we are taking up today here in Lord's Day 16, because they say that comes up in the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 33, for instance. You could say 32 and then 33. It has actually no place being here in Lord's Day 16. We will take it up also when we come to Lord's Day 33 from a slightly different perspective. But it's a marvelous thing that's brought out also here. With reference to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the one hand, you can say that those three things that must be known unto salvation, first how great my sins and miseries are, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries, and how I must be thankful to God for so great a deliverance, they intertwine. We take them up separately, but there are places where you see clearly how the third part is connected to the second part. But here, what we have seen in Lord's Day 16 is that there is a fruit, a benefit flowing from the death of Christ. Last week we saw that by his death our sins have been satisfied, because there was no other way for our sins to be paid for except by the death of the Son of God. And we also looked at the fact that by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death of a Christian has changed. His death is no longer a sacrifice, or is no longer satisfaction, I should say, payment for his sin. But it's an abolishing of sin. And it's an entrance into eternal life. Now the Heidelberg Catechism asks the questions, what further benefit is there to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then it starts talking about how that should impact our daily life. Else we may be like the many so-called Christians who like to die as a Christian, but not live like one. And that's a danger that is ours, congregation. That by the time we get to the end of life's journey, and we generally speaking all hope it's going to be 90 some years, as long as our mind stays okay, and we would all love, just prior to we would die, as long as I know that I may go to be with Christ in glory, but to live like a Christian. If we only want to die like a Christian, then we are like a man like Balaam. That was his desire. That's how he put it in Numbers 23, verse 10, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. But the question this morning is not on the death at the end, but on the death of sin now, here, in our life. And for that to come about as a fruit of the death of Christ on the cross, congregation. A very important question. And though it's a little bit of a difficult subject, I hope that it will be a subject dear to your heart. That the Catechism says that by virtue of the death, by the power of the death of Christ, that our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him, so that the corrupt inclinations of our flesh, may no longer reign in us, but that we offer ourselves to him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's the focus. And we'll cover that focus by talking about what Christ accomplished by his death when it comes to our life, our living, and how he applies that through the Holy Spirit. They're the two thoughts. So, sanctification accomplished, you might say, and sanctification applied. But in order to get a handle on this theme and points, congregation, we need to spend a little time on what your and my old man is. Because that's what the Catechism is talking about, that our old man is crucified. That's not our man the way we were created in Adam, good and holy and righteous in knowledge. God's work, the way he made man, was a very good work. But man willfully fell into sin. And by that sin, he became old. Death entered the moment he sinned. Everything in his life now is stained by sin. So our old man, you might say, that is our flesh, the way it has been corrupted by sin. And there is no good thing that dwells in us, only evil things. And there, in the very at the very bottom of our hearts, we might say, there are the seeds of sin. And because God has restrained sin so much in our lives, congregation, we have been kept from so much sin. But the seed to every sin is in everyone's heart, by sin, by nature. So that's what our old man is. That was mentioned when we were baptized as little infants, conceived and born in sin, and subject to condemnation itself. Children of wrath, and we shall not be able to enter the kingdom of God except we are born in sin. That's our old man. So when we speak about our old man, then we don't speak about just a little part of our life. And we are not simply talking about some folk in our midst who still have an old man and the others don't have it anymore because they have become believers in Christ and now the old man is gone, but the old man, the way he has come into us as a result of sin. And even Paul, after he was converted, congregation, he wrote about himself, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And that was painful for him to write that and to acknowledge that. And that's us, the way we are sitting here in church with our children, congregation. And when our children were brought into church and they received the water of sprinkling, the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace, then they were set apart indeed. But at that time, our children did not know any difference between good and evil. And they would manifest themselves as evil, born in sin. And when the minister took that water and he sprinkled that over their foreheads, then the meaning of that was that they needed to be washed. And it meant that they deserved death and were, spiritually speaking, dead in themselves. So that's the old man that does not know anything good, does not do anything good, congregation, is totally depraved, poisoned by sin. And that old man, the way we are by nature, has to be crucified. And in baptism, the minister prayed for that. And emphasized that. Has to be crucified. If we ever are to go to be with Christ in glory, congregation, that old man has to be nailed to the cross. And that's not an easy thing. Because who of us is ready to say that his old man needs to be crucified, needs to be mortified? We don't like to do that of ourselves, congregation. We rather cherish our old man. We love sin by nature. And even though we may not articulate it with words, it just shows up that way in our life, congregation. We are sinners and we love sin. And we try to watch it, and we all try to watch it, I think, or am I mistaken? And we look around us, and we all say, well, we are not the worst ones in this world.
Look at him. Look at her.
Oh, no, I'm not like that. And that's how we go on, congregation. And by nature, that's how we can live on. And we are having shutters, or we are blind, I should say, by nature in that regard. We don't see our sin. We don't want to see our sin. And we don't want to acknowledge that we are children of wrath, and that any moment God can take us out of this life, and God's everlasting wrath will be upon us. If we are ever to learn to crucify our old man, congregation, then we have to come to hate our flesh. And there is only one place where a person can learn that. You can say that is where the law is preached, but especially there where the substitute whom God gave to make satisfaction for our son, and where he had him be crucified on the cross, Golgotha. That's the place, congregation, where our old man must be crucified and where our new man must rise. And so for us to catch the point of the message from the Word of God this morning, congregation, for that our eyes need to be opened to the need that we have for the washing away, or maybe I should say, for the atonement of our sins, the covering of our sins through the blood, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there at that cross, where we see that he died in my stead for my sins, there I must learn to crucify my old man and to come to the newness of life, congregation. But as I'm at this point, I realize that this is where there are a number of problems. Not for everybody. I realize that too. There are many persons in church who don't make a problem out of this at all. They just live their old happy life. And they don't have any worries about sin in their life. And if they still know this was really wrong, I shouldn't have said this, I shouldn't have done this. At night they go right off to sleep. And the next morning they continue where they left off the day before. And they don't realize that in that night that they are lying in their bed and they have not been concerned for their sin, that night God could take away their soul and have them be sent to hell. First come before the judge of heaven and earth, and then his judgment will go over our whole life, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And if we have not come to see our life, congregation, by the light of the Holy Spirit opening the Scriptures to us, then we have not come to see yet that we are carnal, souled under sin. And then we have not even understood what happened when we were baptized. We don't understand the water of our own baptism. We have not come to understand that we must be immersed, we must go under in that grave of water, that water grave, in which we must be buried because of our sins. I say those persons who have never come to see that have no problems with crucifying their old nature. They just don't do it. And others who don't, there are others who don't have much of a problem with it either, congregation, because they just work at that themselves in their own strength. How many are there in our midst who are that lazy? Today I don't do things I used to do when I was a teenager. I don't do it anymore. I came to see what a fool I was. And by the way, it's wrong too. I think the Bible says it's wrong. So I just don't do that anymore. So I know there's been a change in my life. And like I hinted at a moment ago, when I look at Joblo all around me, then I say, I think I'm a lot better than those folk. I'm not perfect. I know that, but who is? I say those persons have no real problem in this area. And there are others in the church congregation who have not much of a problem with it either. Because there are in the church who, when they think of sin, they only think of the curse of sin, the curse due to them for their sin. And they don't pay any attention to what God requires of them in His law. They are the members in church who do seek the Lord. And they have heard of the curse of God. And they try to escape from it. And so they seek the Lord for a covering of their sins. And to be declared righteous before God. And they pray for that every day. But they don't seek the Lord for the crucifixion of their old man. They just let that old man do his work. I may have mentioned that once in a consistory meeting in one of the churches where I was present, and I was much younger than I am now today, one of the deacons lost his cool. And he hit the table, and we had to do this, and everybody was sitting there like this. Because this man was running the show. And as a young minister, I sat there and I trembled at this angry man. And I said, "Will you leave the room?" He did not hear me. And I raised my voice. And I had to raise it more. And he didn't leave the room. But all of a sudden he said, "Ah, Pastor, that's my old man." But an old man must be crucified. But the thinking of some is that I know that I have this old man. I know I will have him till the day of my death. But there is not a sorrow over that old man. Not a godly sorrow. Because it dishonors God. It is his blasphemy to God. But they don't count that. As long as I get saved, as long as my soul gets saved, and my body, well, my body will go into the grave one day. We all know that. And you can carry that to the extreme, and I'm not saying that that deacon was doing that kind of thing, but you can carry that to the extreme that sometimes people have said, "Let us sin that grace may abound." And in the lives of those people, often you have a great contrast between the one thing and the other. Between Sunday and the other days of the week. And they talk along the lines of the Bible in some way. But sometimes people have said to others, "Don't do business with the man. He pulls the wool right over your eyes." Because they make a contrast between the physical and the spiritual congregation. And they love to hear about the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit who quickens. But they do not wish to hear about the further uncovering work of the Holy Spirit whereby the old man is crucified and the new man is raised with Christ. To begin in this life a truly Christian life. And then if that's us, congregation, then we have not understood anything of the gospel of the salvation of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, for whom the sermon this morning is a real difficulty in his life or her life. That is in the lives of those who have truly been uncovered by the Holy Spirit to their sin. and who were led by the Holy Spirit, taken along by the Holy Spirit, to the foot of the cross of Jesus on Golgotha. And there they came to seek their salvation in the death of Christ. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, room was made in their heart for, I need this surety and Savior for my sins. And they saw him covered with the curse of God for my sins. And they learned to confess him. He is my Savior. He died also for my sins. And that's a rich blessing, congregation, when the Holy Spirit takes you to the foot of the cross and he teaches you all those things that I just described. And you may learn to see at the foot of the cross, how blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven, whose sin is holy, completely covered before the sight of heaven. Blessed he to whom Jehovah imputeth not his sin. He paid for my sin. And those persons know then that there needs to be a change in their heart and life. Those people know that the burden of sin that he bore for their sins must have this kind of an effect in my life, that I can't go away from the cross the way I came to the cross. I've come to seek my need of Christ and the beauty of Christ and the suitability of Christ. And it becomes their desire to live for him, out of him. And they've come to see that that old man of sin, which is a hindrance for that life out of Christ, must be gotten rid of, must be put to death. And then you see sometimes at the sort of the beginning of a conversion, the life of faith, where a person is brought to the cross and the burden of sin is taken from his shoulder. And the eyes were opened to the riches of the death of Christ for our lives. And they came to that song that I just quoted, Psalter 83. How blessed. But then a little later, you see them very much down, spiritually speaking. And then you say, well, what's happening? And they say, it doesn't work. What doesn't work? I'm facing that old man every day. I read the law of God and I just can't do it. And the joy over forgiveness of sin is gone. I had said, Lord, I desire to serve thee. I love thee. But it doesn't work. I say, those persons are having a problem. And that problem gets to be a bigger problem when they read Romans chapter 6, congregation. Because there the Apostle Paul writes things that are so sharp. Because he says in that chapter, we are dead to sin. And those persons, they say, no, I'm not. I'm not. I feel sin in my life. Paul wrote it, but not me. I am not dead to sin. I have sinful desires in me, and they show up in my life. Well, my brother and sister who struggle, like I've been trying to picture in the sermon, listen. What Paul writes in Romans 6 is not what he experienced, is not what he felt in himself. In chapter 7, the Apostle Paul writes something else. He says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. The good that I would, Paul says, I find I do not. And the evil that I would not, I find that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what Paul felt, experienced. And yet Paul elsewhere writes, Galatians 2 verse 20, I live yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And then if we ask, how can that be? Well, Paul says, the secret of that lies in faith, worked by the Spirit, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith that does not rest in what you feel, but the faith that seeks and finds more and more a resting place in Christ and in His finished work on the cross. Because this is the gospel that I have written about, the Apostle Paul would have said, congregation, and I preach it in every town where I have been, that what happened on the cross, where Christ died, where He was crucified, there He did not die for Himself, but He died for all those given to Him by the Father. And they belong to Him not because they feel they belong to Him, but they've come to see their need of Him. They've come to see that God sent Him in my stead. The Spirit worked my need for Him and faith in Him. And now I see that when Christ died on the cross, on Golgotha, He died there in my stead. Yes, but now you're avoiding the point, you may think. Because you were talking about the old man that still shows his face. That's true. But that being crucified with Christ, that dying with Christ, and buried with Christ, congregation. And that old man being crucified, dead and buried, that's part of the benefits that Christ has obtained on the cross. And that the Holy Spirit takes right, as it were, right out of the pierced hands of Christ to show them and to work them in the hearts. Because when Paul speaks in Romans 6 about those who have died with Christ, congregation, then he is not yet speaking in first instance about the work of the Holy Spirit in us, but then he is speaking about the work of Christ for us. For us. What he did on Calvary's cross, when the sun was darkened, when God forsook him, what happened there to Christ, what he did, that happened to all those given to him. That's the riches of the gospel, congregation. So that in the gospel you are never cast back or thrown back on yourself, but always on Christ. Not on what you have experienced, because the Holy Spirit does come with experience, congregation. But the experience of the Holy Spirit that you may have today, tomorrow you may not feel it anymore. That can happen. That can be of comfort for you today. And on Thursday, you think you never had that. But what the Holy Spirit does is He shows you first there what Christ did on the cross, that He did for His people. And now God looks upon him who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way as if what Christ had done, he did. Because Christ did it for him. He gave his body to be crucified. And in body and soul, he bore the wrath of God. And he fulfilled the whole law of God. And what the Holy Spirit does is, he teaches first to know that Christ. And what he obtained, what he did, what he accomplished for you. Also for your Christian walk. Christ accomplished that. And as to how you and I become a partaker of that is through faith. The faith worked by the Spirit, strengthened by the Spirit, the faith that sees it's all in Christ and it's all of grace. But it lies all in Christ and in his finished work. Not only the satisfaction for my sin, not only one day grace to die, but also grace to live here on this earth, congregation. And looking upon that Christ in faith, a person may say, I am crucified with Christ. I died with him on Golgotha. And when he was buried, I was buried in him. And when he was raised from the sepulchre in the garden of Joseph, I was raised in him. You see, crucified with Christ, dead, buried with Christ, is first of all a matter of faith, congregation. Learned through the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to ask you this morning, has the Holy Spirit brought you to that faith? And worked that faith? And shown to you Christ? And that in him there is redemption accomplished, also sanctification accomplished? And can you say the Holy Spirit has so joined me to the Lord Jesus Christ through that bond of faith, living faith, that I may know it. His crucifixion was my crucifixion. His death was my death. And his resurrection, my resurrection. So rich, congregation, when the Holy Spirit teaches us the redemption accomplished, sanctification accomplished in Christ on Calvary's cross. And when he so brings it to the heart that we learn to believe that he died for me. But then we are not done. Then we are not done. Then the Holy Spirit goes further. It's a further benefit in the life of his people, congregation. And that's what the Catechism talks about. That I am buried with him by baptism into his death, Paul says in Romans. But that must take place now also in my life. As a reality, congregation. The beginning of it. Indeed, here. So that you come to that point that you say, I am dead to sin for Christ's sake. And he took my old man along to the grave. And he took my flesh to the cross of Calvary. He is my righteousness before God. And in him I may know to be righteous before God. Now maybe you think, that leads to a superficial kind of life of faith. Then you get that automatic. No, that's not what the Bible teaches, congregation. If the Holy Spirit so teaches us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that his death was my death, that his burial was my burial, that his resurrection was my resurrection, then that does not mean that I don't have to fight the fight of faith anymore. Then I am brought to the fight of faith. Like we saw last Lord's Day in putting on the whole armor of God. Because how can I fight that fight of faith, congregation? That fight also against my old man. That fight in which I am dead to sin. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 6. He says, "Let not sin therefore reign or have dominion in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." So from out of that view of faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul urges us, congregation, to go and to put on the whole armor of God. If I may tie this in with Ephesians chapter 6, and to put on the warfare against powers and principalities. But here, your old man. And to believe that through faith in Christ you are dead to sins. But you still have sin in your life. That's also true. That's also true. God's people often say, "I wish I could say what Paul says, that I'm dead to sin." I find I'm not dead to sin. Sin is such a strong power in my life. Sometimes in my life, my old man seems to be stronger than that new man. You have that too sometimes? Often? That becomes the big struggle for God's children. That old man of sin is there. But they hate him. They don't want him. And that's a mark of grace, congregation. Sometimes they do fall into sin. But they can't continue in that sin. It does happen that a husband sometimes says something to his wife, and later on he says, "I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said it. Will you forgive me?" And it can happen that a mother does something, and her children are there, and then she says, "Children, mommy should not have said this. That's sin against God." And that you pray. And you confess. But you can only pray and confess it and fight against it from out of that faith, knowledge of that Christ crucified, dead and buried. And you say, "Teach me, O Lord, that by virtue, by the power of Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross, that old man may be crucified, dead, and buried with him." And if you ask what is a mark of a child of God in this respect, congregation, who is led by the Holy Spirit, it's this, that he learns to live out of this Lord Jesus Christ. And though he does still do sin, he hates the sin he does. He doesn't want it. It becomes his ardent desire not to sin, to die to sin, and to serve the Lord with all his heart and with all his hands, his both hands and his both feet and his eyes and his ears and his all. From out of that faith worked by the Holy Spirit in the crucified and dead Christ, now raised, they can no longer put up with him. They can no longer say, well, that's just part of me yet. They can't excuse that sin any longer. They learn to fight against that sin. And the faith worked in the heart constrains them to do so. And the Holy Spirit enables them to do so in the power of the Word and the Spirit of God and of His Christ. And then the sin, the little sin that I just described, is not so little to them. It gives them godly sorrow. And it becomes their dire need to be delivered from it. And I say this is a mark of the grace of God in those persons, that they are hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they love Him. They can't do without Him. And they hate sin. And in the strength of the death of Christ, they learn to fight against it. I said it recently, congregation. Do you think that a believer who is brought to the cross and he sees Christ dying there for his sins and bearing the wrath of God due to our sin, do you think it's possible for that person then to go away from the cross and to cherish sin? At the foot of the cross, the sorrow for sin is born. And there we learn to sorrow with respect to our old man. We have a never more sorrow, congregation, than when we are at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And we see Him in the Scriptures, and He died long ago, but we see that He died for my sin. There is never any more hatred in my life against sin than when I'm there at the foot of the cross. There I learn to see how great my sin is. And there I become more than I ever was before an enemy of sin. And of our old man and of the corrupt inclinations. And there we learn to crucify, in principle, the old man. And remember this, congregation, that a Christian in this life never grows beyond living out of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there he learns it. Sin may have no more dominion over me. And if we then do still feel the power of sin at work in our body, in our heart, the evil desire pulls again, then there is only one way for God's child. And that is that he looks up to the cross and he remembers the death of Christ. He died for my sin. And he is delivering me from it. I wonder if I can say that to you too, young people. You have desires in your body and in your mind, and you know they are wrong desires, they are sinful. You know how to deal with that? Don't just say, okay, I won't do it. And a little later you are in the same area, and the pull is there. But that wrong desire, go to the Lord in His Word and go to the cross in the Spirit, as it were, to see where Christ died for the sin that you are tempted to do. And if you see Him die there on the cross for you, do you still have the feeling, I want to do it? That desire there, unless you stand there like a hypocrite. But that desire is given the death blow. He died for my sin. You know what happens there? Their sin loses its sweetness. It's gone. And it gives sorrow. And you say, oh Lord, that's how I am. Forgive me. Is that why thou didst go to the cross? And then we know also from there the strength to present our bodies a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we seek to concentrate on living out of Christ. And we can't do it. But Paul says in Romans 8, if through the Holy Spirit, shall I just read that? I think it's verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live through the Spirit. And that's why we need to seek the Spirit in His Word, and the cross of Jesus in His Word, and the Father of the Lord Jesus in the Word. And then we must learn to strive against sin by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I say, Lord, let me live. Live out of Thee, through Thee, unto Thee. Let me live, O Spirit, through Thy power. Let me live by faith for Thy praise and a testimony for others. And if you're sitting in this church this morning and you say, I don't know anything of these things, Pastor. Honestly, I know sin is wrong. I try not to do it, but at times I do it. And I can't say that I stay awake over it. Then you are a very poor person. But let this sermon uncover you to your need of Christ and His Spirit. There is a way to be delivered from your sin, the death of Christ, through faith. And the power out of His death, through His Spirit in your life, there is power, wonder-working power, in the death of Christ for him or her who believes. Then you receive grace to live and grace to die. And do you know who received grace to live and who received grace to die and who will go to the Father house with the many mansions? They are the people who every day go to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where our old man also is crucified. We don't get to live the perfect life here. The body of death one day has to be taken from us. And one day must be given back to us in glory. And that is through Christ and through His Spirit to the glory of God. Amen.